This is Dave Gloetz. Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky, who is on the phone with me. Hello, Ben.
Hello, David.
Today we're talking about your article titled "TIFF Gifts That Keep on Giving" in the print version of the Chicago Reader, and in the online version it's titled "A TIFF Gift for Rahm." And in this article, you talk about the recent action by the mayoral appointed body, Community Development Commission, having approved more tax increment financing for developments that you look upon somewhat favorably, interestingly enough. And you also talk about the increase of the amount of money that is going to be siphoned off from property taxes to a TIFF district in the Garfield Park area. Let's first talk about where the new TIFF districts that the CDC approved are. And a lot of your criticism over the years of tax increment financing has dealt with not only where the city spends its TIFF funds, but on what corporations. For example, you and I once highlighted the money that went to USG Corporation as a particularly undeserving recipient because it's got pretty deep pockets. In this article, we have Sinai Health Systems, whose 2009 revenues were almost $400 million. And you sort of justify the city's handout of TIFF money to them by saying that they might as well get what all the other deep-pocketed institutions are getting from tax increment financing, as long as they're developing in a needy area. But it sort of begs the question for me, how should this work? Obviously, you want the money to go to so-called blighted areas. I mean, that's the intent of the tax increment financing law. But in this case, it's going to what some would call a deep-pocketed institution. Well, who else would it go to? Who else has the resources to do that sort of development in blighted areas?
Other than people with deep pockets.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm uncomfortable with the entire TIFF program, as you know, Dave. When I look at all the abuses that go along, I guess what I'm saying is if you do a list of egregious abuses of what the TIFF program is supposed to be about, and at the top of that list, I'd say the handout to Mercantile Exchange, even though it wasn't that great in terms of total number, but it's the complete opposite of what the program is. Then giving money to Sinai to expand its campus on the west side is way, way down on the list of egregious abuses.
But it's still an abuse, nonetheless.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think the TIFF program should be sending money to these well-endowed institutions like Loyola got some, and Rush got some, and the University of Chicago got some. And I think this is a program that should really be limited to very strategic developments that will produce significantly more tax revenue. That's what the program's supposed to do. It's supposed to grow the tax base. And I don't know how exactly this infusion of money is going to grow the tax base on the west side.
That's an interesting point, because isn't Sinai Health Systems a nonprofit?
Yeah, it gets really complicated in terms of taxing, and I don't know all the answers. I'm sure portions of their property are taxable, depending on what they use them for.
And I just want to tell our listeners, the reason I bring that up is because if they are a nonprofit entity, it's possible that the city would not collect property taxes on whatever it is they develop.
Yes, and so it varies. You have to know the tax law inside and out, which I don't. So it varies parcel to parcel. I would say that, like, you could argue there's a trickle-down effect for developing a big hospital, and the more employees you have, the more employees will shop in the area, maybe businesses will grow. That's the argument, and that's the justification for it. So I'm bending over backwards to be fair. Everybody says, Ben, be fair. Don't be so mean and nasty.
So this is a concession to those criticisms.
Feeding, okay. I was more impressed with the Finkel steel mill and the consequences it could have. That's another project I discussed in the article, which is another, it's a steel company that's not even locally owned anymore. It's part of a larger conglomerate that I think is based in Germany. Nonetheless, they're moving to an abandoned steel site on the south side, so that's all good.
I'm going to miss them. They're not far from my neighborhood.
It's going to take a couple years before the transformation, and then the larger issue will happen, what to do with the site they're leaving on the north side.
It's a pretty big, it's a big campus.
It's a huge campus. Okay, I presume TIFF dollars will somehow or other be connected in the redevelopment of that site. Then you have to ask yourself, well, should we spend big TIFF dollars so that it can be torn down and turn into residential? Is that necessary? I mean, there's going to be some serious discussion and debate on that issue. Well, let me strike that.
There should be serious discussion and debate.
Whatever the mayor wants will be rubber stamped through. I thought that in the total scheme of things, Sinai and Finkel were not a bad investment. If I were a commissioner, as I think I made a wisecrack about that, I'd have struggled a bit with the Sinai one, but I would have signed off on Finkel.
Then moving to the other part of your article where you talk about the TIF district in the Garfield Park area, I have here a map, which I believe you're looking at also, Ben. And our listeners, if they're interested in looking at that map, can go to the description of this interview at mrradio.org to see a picture of the Garfield Park TIF district. It's roughly Grand Avenue on the north, Lake Street on the south, Kedzie on the east, and what is that? Pulaski on the west, with this little appendage sticking out there on Long Division Street. Do you have any idea why that goes all the way to Costner?
No, I don't. I don't know. I'm sure there's something
they want to throw money at.
Yeah, they want to throw money at, or it's a way to collect more money, or it's a way to make the area eligible by excising properties that would make it ineligible. It's quite a craft. It's almost an art to making these eligibility maps.
What you wrote about in this part of the article is the fact that originally the district was authorized to receive only $16 million in tax funds, and the Community Development Commission allowed, upon a request by the city, to raise that ceiling by $57 million, which is a pretty significant increase.
Right.
And I'm just curious about the players involved here. One of them is the new alderman in that area, who is Jason Irvin. He was appointed by the mayor, the outgoing Mayor Daley, after the retirement of Alderman Ed Smith. Do you know anything about Jason Irvin and why he might be inclined to support this project?
He was elected by the voters as well. He was appointed and then he was ratified, if you will, by the voters. I think of all the people, with all due respect to the alderman, with all the people who were involved in this, he's perhaps one of the least significant players. He's just the fellow they trotted out to give the okay. Whatever interests there are behind this TIF expansion, the budget expansion, and I have no idea what those interests are, I think they're beyond him. And so I'm merely speculating of all the possible reasons for increasing the ceiling. They could be in debt on projects, so they need more money. There could be a development deal in the back rooms that's being cooked up.
Is that the sort of thing that you would ever dig deeper into? Or would you wait to see what gets proposed?
To a certain degree, it's what's the point. I don't have any sources in the city, bureaucracy and planning department, pretty well, not very highly regarded, as you can imagine, in that branch. If they're going to tell somebody, they're not going to tell me. I don't really have any sources in the developer community. I don't even see my function as being the guy who brings you these inside scoops and deals. I think the role I generally play is analyzing the public proposals. That keeps me busy enough.
And there are plenty of them.
Yeah, there's plenty of them. So I presume that at some point in the next year or so, some plan will emerge or some way of spending this money will emerge. I can't imagine they would just increase the ceiling without having something up their sleeve. When I was watching this, Dave, I realized, to go back to one of my favorite themes, this really was how the mayor was going to pay for the Olympics. He was just going to go through all these TIF districts and up the budgets so that they would have more money to spend, more money to borrow against.
So it makes you kind of wonder whether there's some groundwork being laid for the new mayor.
Well, that's what I said in the article. It's a gift to the new mayor.
But I mean deliberate.
I really don't know how much involvement he has in any of this yet. He came into office promising to reform the TIF program without being any more specific than that.
New reform means to fund it better.
Yes, maybe that. And there's certainly nobody that he's appointed, or proposing to appoint, I should say, to any position remotely resemble the reformer of the TIF program. So I presume it'll be business as usual with TIFs while the mayor continually tells us, yes, I'm looking into this program. This is a scandal. This is bad. So I'm saying it's going to be an entertaining 4 years.
We'll look forward to that. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to my interview with Ben Jarofsky. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.